Hello and welcome to the World Athletics Podcast. I'm Ben Harlow and joining me is rising star Femke Bol. She's had a breakthrough 2020 year, breaking personal bests and records all over the place, and she took the time out of her busy schedule to catch up with me. So I just wanted to start off with 2020 has been, a wild year for everybody. How would you summarise it for yourself? Because you've had a different year to most.
Yeah, it's been weird. It's been like I changed coach also at the start of like end 2019, start 2020. And I just had a nice interseason for flat. And I was really excited to do the hurdles. But then Corona came in between. So we had around 7 or 8 weeks that we had no access to the track or something. And then we started to go back on the track when we could from the Dutch government. And we started to do hurdles again and like test competitions because we couldn't do real competitions. And all of a sudden, I noticed that I improved a lot, even though Corona had happened and everything. And yeah, I ran crazy PBs and now I can run real competitions again. So yeah, it's been crazy.
What prompted your decision to change coaches? Because 2019 was a pretty good year for you. You really broke out onto the international circuit. Why did you decide to change coaches?
Yeah, it was a really good year. And I decided to change coaches because now my former coach is the assistant coach of Laurent. So I would still be in contact with him. And that way I could also go to Papendal. That's the Dutch sports center in the Netherlands. And it's, yeah, in my opinion, the best place to become a real professional and good athlete with all the circumstances are good. And I can live close to there in a, yeah, like a home with more sport people. And yeah, the group was also really nice. I mean, Lea Sprunger is training there and a lot of my four teammates. So that kind of was what made me make the decision.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about training with Lea. Obviously, she's a really accomplished athlete herself. She's won the European title. She did really well in Doha. What's it like training with someone like that?
Yeah, it's really nice to train with her because, of course, she inspires all of us. But she's also really down to earth and, yeah, really like normal. And she also really wants to help us if, like, once I had a really tough training and I would just text her. And, yeah, she really likes to help me too with all these things. So she's, yeah, really nice to learn a lot from, and to train with her is also really nice.
I just want to rewind a little bit to where this all kind of started. So growing up, when you were younger, were your family big into sports?
Yeah, my brother, he did track and field. And I first did judo because I broke my arm twice and I just had to do judo, they said, to learn how to fall. But I always liked to run more. So when I was 7, my brother was on track and field and I thought, okay, I'm also going to do it. And yeah, that way I just started to go into sports. But my parents, when they were younger, they met when they were doing soccer, so they didn't really have like track and field, but my dad always liked to run.
Cool. And when did you first find the event that was right for you? Like, did you want to be a 400 meter hurdler?
Well, in 2015, I switched to the 400 meter flat. Well, like I specialized in it, but only last year I found out that I like to do hurdles and I was pretty okay in it. So that was really when I found out, like, oh, I like 400 hurdles a lot and I'm good at it. So, yeah, it was, I think, last year, but also in 2015, the 400 meter.
Yeah, not many people choose to do the 400 meters, let alone the 400 meter hurdles, because it's such a hard, grueling event. Were you scared or nervous about doing it?
Yeah, well, I really like the real lactic sessions. And, yeah, I don't know why, but I just like these kind of sessions. And I was scared with hurdles because I was like, okay, I know the last 100 is tough and now I even have to get over hurdles. And I was pretty scared when I was doing it the first time. I was like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to do my best and see how I do the hurdles because my technique was really not good. It's still not very good, but then it was way worse. So I was just, okay, let's see. And I just did my best. And then I liked it a lot. But afterwards, it's like, I feel that it was more tough, but during it feels easier or something. So it's very weird.
When did you first realize that you could actually have a career in athletics?
Oh, I think last year when I qualified for the World Championships, I was like, okay, I can really go to major championships with this and maybe I'm pretty young, so I can become better. So I think at that point, I really realized, like, okay, I can maybe really make it more professional.
Yeah, I mean, even in 2018, we're still like, you'd improved quite a lot from the previous year. And then going into 2019, you had a really good indoor season and you ended up going to Yokohama for the World Relays. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was crazy. I could first go to Florida in a training camp with the Dutch Federation. So that was already new for me because I'd never flew like out of Europe. And then I think we had 3 or 4 days back in the Netherlands, and then we went to Yokohama immediately. And it was for me also my first time 4x4, and it was the World Relay. So it was crazy that all those things happened all of a sudden, but I really enjoyed it a lot. And yeah, we did pretty well. So it was, yeah, a really nice experience.
Were you nervous competing in your first like senior international?
Yeah, I was pretty nervous. I remember that I said to one of the coaches, like, yeah, but I'm also the last leg, so it kind of feels like if you do bad, it feels like it's your fault a bit. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm pretty nervous. And then he just said to me, like, just enjoy the moment that you come into the stadium and just go when you get the stick and run as fast as you can. And that helped a lot.
And what was it like being in Japan, obviously, with the Olympics around the corner, kind of getting that experience? How did you find that?
Yeah, it's a really different country. Like, you go in there and, yeah, the language is completely different. You can't read anything and you feel kind of a bit lost, I felt. But it was really nice to already go to the place that we will also go when we go to Tokyo, like Shiba, for the pre-camp. And, yeah, to experience how the people are, because the people are really nice who live in Japan, and you really see that the sport is big there. So that was really nice to see. And it's, yeah, it's good that you already know a bit what you can expect of it.
Yeah, that's really good. And then obviously in 2019, you kind of went from strength to strength. So you started with the hurdles and you had success pretty quickly. You won the European junior title. Did you expect that to happen at all in 2019?
No, not at all. Yeah, I'd hope in 2017, I went to also the European under 20s. And I hoped from then on, like, I hope in 2 years I can be on a podium. But I thought on the 400 meter flat. So at first it was also my plan to do the 400 flat at the European under 20s. But then I ran the world championship standard and I knew I had a whole season after it. And I liked hurdles a lot and I focused on hurdles more. So then I was all of a sudden there as a favorite. And it was, yeah, I would have never expected it, but it was a really nice experience.
Good. And what did it feel like as, I mean, that was your first individual kind of gold medal in an international competition. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, it was, of course, it's always hard. Like I went to hurdles and the year before my flat didn't go really well. So, but I really wanted to do a medal sometime in an international stage, of course. So when I got it, I was so happy also because there was a lot of pressure on me a bit, like, okay, you have to win, or people expected me to win pretty easily. But it was, yeah, it was really nice and I enjoyed it a lot. And my whole family was there and friends, so it was really nice.
Good, good. And then going forward throughout the year, you started competing a little bit more on the international circuit and that kind of went into Doha for your first World Championships. What was that like in terms of the scale of the competition?
Yeah, it was weird because at first I thought at the beginning of the season, like, okay, after European under 20s, I'm done. But then soon I realized I have 4x4 and then I got also the hurdles. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to have to stay a bit longer. But yeah, I really liked that you could really run against the best of the world to see where you're at. And yeah, it really gave me like a lot of motivation to become better and to be better on the next World Championships.
And what was it like? Obviously, you went in the final, but what was it like watching that race unfold? Because it was a world record race with Dalila Mohammed and Sydney McLaughlin was close behind. What was it like seeing that?
Yeah, it was crazy. And Leah also became fourth there. And yeah, just to watch them do that, like run so fast and then both of them, the first two, it was really a crazy race. And yeah, it really inspires you and motivates you, like, whoa, there's so much possible in this distance still, and they can do so good. So yeah, it's really nice to see that.
Do you, does like Dalila, for example, does she inspire you in the 400 meter hurdles?
Yeah, a lot. Also, her hurdle technique is so nice and so smooth, and the way she runs, and she's been there for a long time. And yeah, I really like to see her run.
Good, good. I mean, have you raced her before?
No, yeah, in Doha in the semifinals, I raced against her, but that was it.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully 2021 could be a good opportunity. So going forward, obviously you had a strong showing. You got a PB in Doha and you were really building momentum going into towards 2020. At the start of the year, did you expect 2020 to be as big as it had been in terms of athletics? Obviously, global pandemic aside.
No, not at all. I remember that I talked with my coach, like, what do we want to achieve this year? And it was really just to be more consistent and maybe PB, but mostly to become more consistent on the level I was, because last year I could run 55.9 and then the next competition again 57. So really just get more experience and get more consistent in the hurdles. And to run 53, I think if I would have said that we would have left and be like, no, that's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, I mean, was it a big surprise when you, because you had a pretty strong indoor season, you set a personal best there as well. But I think your times outdoors really were the most shocking. Were you surprised to, I think you ran 54 something as your opening race. What was that like?
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember, like, first we did some 300 flats and 300 hurdles and also a 400 flat. And I realized I was pretty good at them, but you never know. It's different at 300 or 400 because you have 100 meter more of lactic. So I knew I was good, but then I ran the 54.5 and I knew that my last 100 was not very good because I made some mistakes. And I was really like, oh, well, it's almost a second faster than in Doha. Now, remember when I ran in Doha, my PB, it really felt like the perfect race and I couldn't go much faster. So, yeah, it was crazy.
Obviously, you then continued to go from strength to strength. You then ran your sub 54, you ran 53. What was running 53 seconds like for you?
Yeah, it was really nice. In front of me, I had Jackie, and she's a really fast starter, which I knew. And I worked a lot on being faster between the first couple of hurdles because, yeah, that is still my weak spot. So I really tried to chase her that first part. And then, yeah, the second part in the bend, I got to her and I felt that it was still easy, my 15 stride, because I always do 50 till hurdle 8. And I knew that in the 54 race, I made a mistake because I wanted to push more and do one more 15. And that cost me a lot of energy. So I knew always out of hurdle 8, I have to rhythm a lot to do 16. So I just did that, like I talked to with my coach, like how to do it. And then when I had the last hurdle, I heard them scream so hard and loud. So I was like, okay, I think I'm doing well. So I kept on running as fast as I could. And then I said time 53 and I was like, whoa, is this really happening? It was a bit weird, but yeah, it was really nice.
So does that mean that you have learned to hurdle off both legs as well?
Yeah, I'm trying to learn, but I only have to do one hurdle if I do my race plan good with my bad leg. So I just try to improve the technique on both a lot because on both they can still improve a lot.
Okay, so that time it really did, it sent shockwaves around the world. Nobody had ran that fast this year. It was a world lead. It was, and you, especially because you're so young, it kind of came from nowhere. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody wanted you to be in their competition and be in their races. What's it been like with the reception to your performance?
Oh, that was really nice. It's like when you do something like that, it means a lot to yourself. But it's nice if you get like from other people also to hear like, wow, it's really good what you do. And I like to bit like I was, oh, but now I can run it myself. So it felt like it was easier or less special because you do it yourself. But when I got all these reactions and they were really positive and nice, yeah, that really helped me a lot and was really nice.
Obviously, now you are competing internationally on the global circuit with the best athletes in the world. What's it been like just being on the circuit this year with everybody?
Yeah, it's been really nice. It was, of course, it gave some pressure this year also because in Hungary and now also in Stockholm, I could race against the best of Europe. And yeah, I really want to prove myself like I can still run fast and also with some pressure. So that was, of course, a bit hard like to handle it, but I think it went pretty okay. And it's just really nice to be able to even in this weird corona year, to be able to run against each other and compete against each other and just, yeah.
Good. Have you made any particular friends on the circuit so far?
Well, Leia, of course, became really a new friend because I didn't know her before this year, and that's really nice.
Good. What do you do in your spare time? Obviously, with lots of competitions, you have a lot of downtime as well. What do you get up to?
I still study a bit, so that's mostly what I do when I'm not on the track.
So 2020 has been a really wild year for you. Do you have any more expectations for the rest of the year, or any plans or anything you want to do?
No, I'm just going to do a few more competitions, and I'm going to try to put my best race at all the competitions and be at my best and just, yeah, do my best and see what happens.
So next year, hopefully, fingers crossed, will be the Olympic Games, and it will be a really big year for lots of the athletes. How are you feeling going into Tokyo? Do you have any expectations of yourself?
Well, it's going to be really different, I think, going into the Tokyo year than this year, because, well, I was really happy just to get the standard at first. But now, of course, I'm at a higher level and you want to achieve also more in the Olympics. So I really hope that we can participate at the Olympics and that there can be audience. And then I'm just, yeah, I hope that I can just be at my best when I'm there and hopefully make a final.
Good. And also, I've noticed a lot recently, the Dutch 4x4 team as well. There's a lot of strong Dutch women in the 400 metres at the moment. Do you think there's a possibility of getting a medal in the 4x4?
Well, you never know what happens with a 4x4. People can get disqualified, the stick can fall, anything can happen. So I think we're going to really do our best to make that the final and then just give it our all, and we will see where it brings us.
Okay, so hopefully two Olympic finals and maybe a medal.
Would be really nice.
Do you have any other goals or aspirations for the next season, or is it just everything is on the Olympics?
I think everything will mostly be on the Olympics, but I don't know if we're going to have an indoor season. I'm going to do indoor then also, because I already have the world indoor qualifier, so we're going to see about that, but it would be nice.
Okay, well, that's all my questions for now. But I just want to say thank you so much for joining us for the podcast. It was really great.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it for today's episode of the World Athletics Podcast. I just want to say thank you to Femke for joining us. It was a real pleasure to interview her. If you can't get enough of athletics and you want more, you can follow us on all social media platforms at World Athletics. And there's many more podcasts for you to listen to on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast provider as well. Thank you.